The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go back, if you will. Let's look at that scripture one more time. Thank you, family, for doing that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run a race run all?" Now, by the way, God does expect us to run all of our race, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. Let me speak to you for just a few short minutes on running your race well. Running your race well. You know, God has set before us a race that he wants us to run well. He wants us to do our very best at running the race. And we're going to pray one more time, and we're going to get into the scripture. Now, Father, tonight we do pray that you'd help us to be able to convey a truth tonight that would be most helpful in individual lives. And so, Father, we rely on you very heavily tonight to be able to do that. So please work in our lives. Give us this truth. Help us to be able to go home satisfied with the Word of God tonight. And, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you some statements about running your race well. Paul, very concerned, you'll see it again in verse 27, that he might become a castaway. Now, you understand that the Apostle Paul, I believe, had the hand of God upon him. You'll see that he was used of God over and over and over again to do many works of God, but yet the Apostle Paul was very, very concerned. What causes a person to be able to finish their race? What are some things that you and I need to do in our lives to be able to finish out the race that God himself has placed before us? I remember seeing some of the older men, and you know, when I first went into the ministry, I've been preaching now for over 30 years, and when I first went into the ministry, these men were not older men. These men were in their 40s or they were in their 50s, and I didn't really consider them older men, but as they started hitting their 60s, I started to view them as older men. As they hit their 70s, I started to view them as older men. As they round off into their 80s and 90s, I looked at them as older men. I remember watching Dr. Seitler go through the aging process in his life, and I remember hearing him preach as a younger man in his 50s, as I would look at him as being a younger man, if you will. And then all of a sudden, I watched him age as he went through his 60s and as he went through his 70s, and things begin to change in his life. And then, of course, as he gets ready to go home to be with the Lord, I watched him at a conference as he came out, and as he had spilt stuff all over him, he had stains. And this was a well-groomed man. Very well did he keep himself, but he had stains all over. He always wore the light jackets. He always wore the light pants, a light in their color. But I watched him as he came out on the platform, and you could tell he spilt something all over himself. I mean, his shirt was stained, and you know, I saw some young men out there, and they were just laughing at him. You know, look at him, but they don't realize here was a man that just gave his life. He just kept on going. I watched different older men. I watched the Dr. Lee Robertson go from being moderate in his pace to a very slow pace. I watched him over the years, and my heart went out to him. I remember Dr. Williams. Dr. Williams, I worked for 8 years. I loved him deeply. I was an assistant pastor there and youth director. I remember when I resigned and I took the church up in Tennessee to become pastor, you know, everything was fine. He still had vitality. He was still able to walk. You know, some people, as they get older, they walk slower. Their joints begin to stiffen up. They have a hard time getting out of the chair, sitting in the chair. They have a hard time moving a little bit speedily like you and I move. And I remember Dr. Williams, as he'd come to hear me preach, and I'd preach in different places in the Mississippi area. And when I was in the Mississippi area, Dr. Williams would always come to hear me preach if I was in about a two-hour drive, and he would come. And I remember watching him age. And as he aged, I watched his pace kind of slow down. And I watched him. He'd come down the aisle. He'd walk really slow. And he'd come down the aisle, and he'd shake my hand. I remember when he had his first stroke. He had 3 strokes before he died. I remember when he had his first stroke. And he was always somebody that liked to look sharp. But I remember he could not maintain himself. And, you know, it was something that was... in his eyes, something very disgraceful, but he couldn't contain himself. And he was so embarrassed, and he'd come down the aisle, and he'd shake my hand, and every time he'd come to hear me preach the last years of his life, he'd shake my hand, his lips would quiver, his false teeth would break loose just a little bit and become very choppy, you know, and tears would come down his face. And he would say, it's just so good to hear the word of God. And I love Jesus so much. And he said, could I pray for you one more time? And I kneeled down in front of him or sit down beside him. He put his hand on my head and he just pray for me as being a young preacher. I remember all those things. Now, by the way, your pace may change in running your race, but the thing is, you still need to run your race. You still need to decide that you're going to finish with as much strength as God gives you to be able to run the race. And sometimes, and running your race, sometimes you just don't see what's hitting you broadside sometimes, but God still expects you to run your race. Let me show you a couple of things. Over in Psalm 19 in verse 5, the Bible says here, it says, rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Rejoiceth as a strong man that runneth the race. Now, let me show you this, a couple of things to think about. Preparation changes performance. Preparation changes performance. There's no magic in winning a race or running a race. There's no magic to it. There's no shortcuts. There's no secret formula in running a race. It's just going at it. Yesterday, Brother Fenton was with me. We stayed out for probably 5.5 hours together after I came back from the hospital, and we just kept going, and we just kept going from house to house to house to house. Well, I read in the Bible that's what the Apostle Paul did. So it doesn't change. Nothing's different. So we just kept going in houses and sitting down, loving on people, taking the Bible, showing people how to be saved, working with people that needed to be baptized, helping people to grow, helping people to make right choices in their life. There's no shortcut. There's no secret formula. There's no Office Depot type of easy button to press. There's no shortcut to be able to make it happen. Now, by the way, you'll get weary in well-doing. That's what the Bible says. But you're not supposed to sit down. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you might not always be able to run. Sometimes you got to slow it down and take a walk. But God still wants you to walk through the valley. The basketball player doesn't get good at shooting the hoops without practice. The quarterback doesn't get good at throwing the football without practice. The receiver doesn't do well in catching the ball without practice. That which is the batter stands up, he's got to practice hitting over and over again in order to perfect that swing. That which is the pitcher has to practice pitching over and over again in order to get it down. The car racer has to practice racing. You can't be a good car racer without practice. You can't be somebody that gets out there and expect that which is the end result of work without working. It takes sweat. It takes going. It takes long hours. It takes putting in what it takes in order to be able to help people. For the Christian, it takes staying in church. It takes praying. It takes giving. It takes seeking God's will. It takes somebody that says, I'm going to have victory over sin, therefore I'll be separated from the world. I'm going to get answers to my prayer, therefore I'm going to spend time in prayer. I want God to bless me financially, therefore, I'm going to put God first in my financial world. I want to grow to be strong. Therefore, I'm going to give my very best in being in a place that will help me to grow strong. Listen, those that are interested in courting each other, you got to be careful that you set the pace in running your race, even in that area. Do we understand this? That once you start to give your heart away to somebody else, there's less heart to use in another area. Just common sense. You know, when you first start dating or first start liking somebody, you're over here. It's God. It's putting God first. It's putting your mom and dad first. Then all of a sudden you begin to develop a friendship. As you begin to develop the friendship, you go through the stages. It's friendship. I like you. I really like you. I love you. I really love you. Will you marry me? And then you're at the marriage altar. What you got to be careful about is you don't move that direction too quickly. Here's a person says, well, I tell you what, I want to get married 2 years from now. Well, then you can't say in 1 month, I like you, I really like you, I love you, I really love you, will you marry me? And then survive for the next year and 3/4. Can't do it. You've got to slow it down. By the way, can I help you out a little bit? If you're a young man and you're single, stand up. You're a young man and you're single, stand up. I want to help you out a little bit. Watch this. You guys will eventually control a relationship. You control it, not the girl. The guy does. Amen. You know, the girls are giddy. They're giddy. You know, they're emotional. They're giddy. They feel like they like you 1 minute. Next minute, they can't stand you. They're giddy. 1 minute, they're happy. Ha, ha, ha. Next minute, they're sad, crying, and don't know why. Giddy, moody. Now, you can't expect a girl to be able formulate a style or a speed in a relationship. You can't do it. You can't. Here's what she wants. She wants the ring. Hey, I told my daughter, I'm not being mean, but I told my daughter, I said, I got a plan. I got a plan. Here's my plan. We went shopping the other day, walking beside Josh for some reasons, and so we went shopping. And so here we are, we're shopping, and we're going in these ring places, you know? And man, I'm walking in, I'm thinking, I said, look, man, he's looking for something cheap and broken. Help him, cheap and broken. No takers. Now, wait a minute. I saw this ring in this one place, $20,000. $20,000. I think that's the ring all of you guys need to buy one day. $20,000. I told my daughter, I said, I got a plan. I got a plan. Let's get a guy to like you. Got a plan. Get a guy to like you. Then I'll tell him, you can't get engaged to my daughter until you can buy the $20,000 one. Can't do it. Save up, buy the $20,000 one. I said, then honey, once he gives it to you, drop him like a cold potato. We're going to go sell it and eat steak for 5 years. See, I got a way to do that $20,000 thing too. Now, wait a minute, what am I saying tonight? I'm saying this. I'm saying we understand that preparation changes performance. If you don't, come on, guys. How many are in high school? Raise your hand. You're in high school. You're standing and you're still single. All right, watch this. You be careful. You be careful. Some of you guys, you had to figure out, am I single? Am I not single? Am I single? Am I not single? Bless your heart. You need to stay close to your mama. Man, here's a young man in high school. Can I help you out a little bit? You still have pimples, leave the girls alone. You fall in love with Jesus. You work a bus route. You learn what it is to be a soul winner and go pop your pimples. But leave the girl alone. Hey, you see a girl walking down the road, come on, walking in the hallway, and you say, oh, she's for me. But you've already said that about 10 other girls. How many guys have come to my office and say, preacher, it's God's will? I said, what's God's will? God's will is, that's the one for me. And I said, she doesn't even know you're alive. What are you talking about? Can I help you a little bit? How many of you you're out of high school and you're still single? Can I tell you, there is no hope for you. There is hope for you, but you got to wait on it. You have to wait on it. Don't get impatient. Oh, Brother Wells, I'm 21 years old, and I'm going to die single. Well, you may die, you may be single, but that's not, are you listening to me? That's not all that bad. Okay, never mind. Sit down. If you're a single girl, stand up, will you? Hey, I get to be your pastor tonight. Look, don't go chasing the guy. You think he looks good. Because he's only got one pimple. Well, don't go chasing the guy. Come on. Well, don't chase the guy. Don't text guys. Don't get on their Instagram. Talk to them through Instagram. Don't flash yourself. You're not an emergency light. Leave it go. Just leave it go. One day, somebody will realize you're breathing. If they'll do what's right and honorable, they'll go to your daddy first. If they don't have the guts to do what's right and honorable, and they don't go to your daddy first, don't spit on them if they're on fire. Let them go. If they're sneaking around your daddy, they're going to sneak around on you. Come on. What you ought to do, some boy comes up to you and they start batting their eyeballs at you. And they're saying, oh, you're pretty. Say, I'm going to tell my dad. I'm going to tell my dad. Some boy texts you, texts him back. No reply. I'm going to tell my dad in forever. And then you go tell, let your dad see it. Hey, come on, your dad's got plenty of baseball bats. You say, well, I don't have a dad. You got a youth director. Well, I don't have a dad. You got a preacher. One of the boys was chasing one of her girls. One of the girls came to me and said, preacher, he's chasing me. What do I do? I said, I'll take care of it. Want me to take care of it? She said, you will? I said, yeah, I'll take care of it. Well, what will you do? Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Called the boy in my office. I said, son, I want to help you out. Drop dead Fred. He said, what do you mean? I said, you're chasing the girl. Stop it. Don't text her. Don't walk down the aisle and gawk at her. Leave her be. Drop dead Fred. Jump off the bridge. It's not happening. It's over. You said, you think he got the point? Well, I think so. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, look. Let the girl enjoy her life. Stop chasing her. Well, I got to have her because somebody else might get her. If it's God's will today, it'll be God's will 5 years from now. Why are you in a hurry? It must be that you're not sure she's the one. If you've got such an insecurity, then don't chase it. Don't chase it. Hey, when Mrs. Wells and I came together, it was all God. Where's God in your desires? I'm saying performance changes, or that which is a preparation changes performance. Hey, you stay pure, you live for God, you come to church, you sit in the front, close to the front, or you don't get involved with other. Hey, somebody comes up to you and they say, boy, I think that you're beautiful. Turn to them and say, I think you're ugly. Walk away from it. Don't nurse it. Don't nurse it. If you nurse it, you're going to get what you deserve, a bum. Don't nurse it. Sit down, if you will. Here we go. And so I'm saying statement number one, we understand this to be true. We understand that as you prepare, it changes your performance. How you prepare. Preparation is that which changes. If in your heart, you're preparing your heart on, I want a boy, I want a girl, I want a boy, I want a girl, then that's all it's in your head. What about Jesus Christ? What about being a soul winner? What about putting God first and letting God bring the special one in your life? What about putting God first and allow God to arrange a relationship between you and another with your parents' blessing and approval? All right, I'm saying this. I'm saying we understand tonight that preparation changes performance. Statement number two, weights prevent winning. Some of us, the reason we're not continuing to run the race is not because of sin. It's just because we have weighty things on us. Holds us down. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that thus so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience, or let us run with patience the race that is set before us. All right, you know, here's what they do with the race cars. They take off all the heavy materials. They'll remove all the unnecessary pieces. They'll take out all the extra seats. They remove the spare tire. They get rid of the car jack. They remove the dashboard. They get rid of the radio. They get rid of everything that is of a weight. Why? Because they want to run and win the race. They want to make it around that track. A person that runs in a race physically, he's not wearing combat boots. He's not wearing a coat. He doesn't have a backpack. He's not reading material and tripping as he goes. He's not somebody that's got that which is a thermos full of hot coffee, and he stops halfway around to eat his lunch and drink his coffee. No, what's he doing? He is somebody that is intent on winning the race. You take a swimmer, what do? They got their swimwear on and has very few seams. They're looking for everything that causes a resistance. What do? They have a special headgear that they wear. It's a cap, or they'll shave their head. They'll shave their head. Why are they doing that? By the way, sometimes they'll even shave their eyebrows. Why are they doing that? They don't want any resistance whatsoever. They're serious about winning the race. And may I say, you ought to be serious tonight. Anything that is on you that's a weight. And by the way, it doesn't have to be a weight to you only. Could be a weight to somebody else. You could cause somebody else not to win the race because you have a weight. Now, I love Tony. Tony got saved, got baptized this morning with John, came by the office right before preaching time. He says, look, haircut. Haircut. Now, he doesn't know this, but just in having the right type of haircut can help somebody else and can influence somebody else. Having a wrong type of haircut could be a weight. Could be. Okay, here we go. A guy over here and he's gambling just a little bit. What is that? Sin? What is that? A weight? Hello? Somebody using that which is a curse word? Sin? Using a word that's a foul type of word, a derivative, something that is off color, could be a weight. Could be a weight. You say, I see nothing wrong in that joke. Everybody laughs. What about the little one that just heard it? What about the little one that just heard it? Well, I used to be a soul winner, but I don't go anymore. What about the little ones that's watching you? Well, I used to not watch stuff like that on the television, but I'm doing it today. What about the little ones that sit in the living room? Two boys, if you would please, carrying on way too much. Could be a weight. Boy and a girl sitting in a place, and all they're doing is staring at each other. Little child comes up, says, oh, that's the way they are. Could be a weight. See, you've got to be careful not just to get rid of the sin. If you're going to be a leader, you've got to decide to get rid of some weights in your life. Why? Because you do want to win the race. You do want to help others. You do want to convince others. You do want to persuade others. You do want to be the example for others to be able to follow. Just because something, listen to me now, just because something is sinful and you stay away from it doesn't mean that everything else is okay. Let me ask you a question. Is it questionable? Is it unwise? Is the appearance above evil? Is it vain? Is it temporal? Is it immature? I'm talking to your personal life. Is it worldly? You know, there's some things in our life that we've got to be careful about that are some weights. How do we run the race and run it well? Preparation changes performance, statement number one. Endurance beats, or weights prevent us from winning. Statement number three, if you will. Endurance beats an explosion. Endurance beats an explosion. Here's what he says, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. The Bible says, and I returned and saw, it says, under the sun, that the race is not for the swift, nor the battle for the strong. Neither is the bread to the wise, nor yet riches for men of understanding. Yet, it says, favor to men of skillful, but time and chance happeneth to all. It says to them all. He says, let me tell you, it's just a chance. So an explosion, what is that? It's a chance somebody's going to take it right, somebody's going to take it wrong. If that be true, then why do it? Mrs. Welsh, come up if you will. I'm saying this tonight. You know, do you understand that explosions can happen wrongfully? And by the way, people explode differently. You know, men vent differently than women. How many of you know that already? Men vent differently than women. Okay, so here I am. One day I'm out making visits, doing the work of the Lord. I'm out there doing the work of God. We have supper at 6 o'clock. I come in at 6:30. I don't make a phone call, nothing. I just show up 6:30. She's got supper ready. I come walking in and I say, honey, I'm home. You're handsome, intelligent. I'm home. Is anything wrong?
No.
By the way, if you ask your wife, if she's distant to you, and you say, honey, is anything wrong? And she says, no. Or she says, nothing. You know what that means? Something. That's what that means. So honey, is anything wrong at all?
No, nothing.
Well, I had a great day at work today. Saw people saved, birthed into the family of God. Eternally saved. Woo! All right, then I go off and do my thing. I come back, and she's gone. She went into the bedroom, locked the door. Hey, you're talking to me because it's happened to you, huh? It's never happened to me. Brother Nash told me about this. I'm kidding. And so I go in. I come back in the living room. She's gone. I go knock on the door of the house that I'm paying the mortgage on. I knock on the door. Honey, is anything wrong? She's crying. Nothing. Well, can you come out and talk about nothing? No. Well, can I come in? No. So what happens? We know the sofa's okay, honey. It's all right. I can sleep out here. Curl up on the sofa. She's in there all night long. You hear this wailing and gnashing of teeth. You get no food, you get no understanding, you get no respect, You've knocked on the door relentlessly, and all you hear is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Come on. You curl up, sleep on the sofa, and to you, hey, eventually, the sobbing, it's almost like listening to a song or something, just kind of rocks you to sleep. I mean, after all, she said nothing. You asked her. You know, why is it you ladies want us to believe something that we do not understand? We take you at your word. We ask you the question, honey, is anything wrong? And you say, nothing. Okay, let's eat. Let's eat. Let's go bowling. Come on. Hey, let's come on. Let's go rock climb. Hey, come on. Hey, everything's okay. We believe you. We believe you're such a good Christian, you're going to tell us the truth. And so when you say nothing, we believe you. So all of a sudden goes in the room, locks the door, weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth. Husband's out there, can barely hear it anyway. Thinks that she's singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, lullaby, lullaby. He goes to sleep on the sofa, wakes up the next morning. She's still in there. She's still singing. He thinks she's happy. So he says, well, I don't want to disturb her. She's walking with God. So he gets a shower in the other bathroom, puts on the same clothes because, after all, she's in the bedroom locked down in her secure tank. And so he goes over there, puts on his clothes that he just wore, gets in his car, drives off, goes to work, comes home. There's a note. It says, I'm leaving you. You didn't care. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying endurance beats an explosion. Sometimes in any relationship, you have to learn to endure some things. Sometimes in any relationship, you've got to overlook some things. Just because a spouse says something, a child says something, a mother says something, doesn't necessarily mean that they meant what they said the way they said it at the time that they said it. Come on, how many of you ever said something and you regretted it 2 minutes outside of your mouth? You did that? How many of you said something, regretted it 2 minutes outside of your mouth, but yet you never apologized? How many of you that caused you to live in the doghouse? Thank you, Brother Now. What causes explosions? You ready? When you treat your in-laws like outlaws. Causes explosions. What causes explosions? When you disagree about child-rearing rules. One of the parents says, he deserves a spanking. The other parent says, no, he doesn't. Well, yes, he does. No, he doesn't. There's disagreements when it comes to child rearing. Hey, what causes an explosion? Communication not well put. Hey, look, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, it says you're supposed to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. So you're supposed to get knowledge about her, understand. By the way, you're supposed to understand your kids. Kids, you're supposed to work hard at understanding your parents. You work at it. Outside influences will cause explosions. All of a sudden, somebody takes an outside med. They have an outside friendship. They have an outside worldly influence. Causes explosions. When you seldom be able to express how much you care about the one that you do care about, causes explosions. I mean, after a while, it just builds and builds and builds. So what do? You decide this. You're going to run your race well. How do you do that? By preparation. Preparation changes the performance. Weights prevent the winning. Endurance beats the explosion. By the way, I'd rather have a good offerings, average offerings every Sunday than just one big one. I'd rather for a church to average, or a bus to average 50 every Sunday than just have one big day of 100. I'm talking about an explosion versus that which is endurance. I'd rather somebody go out and lead two people to Christ every week of the world, the rest of the days of their life, than just have one day only where they lead 20 people to Christ. There's an endurance that's needed. I'd rather somebody surrender their entire life than just surrender a part of their life. I'm saying preparation changes performance. Weights prevent winning. Endurance beats an explosion. Let me give you the last one. I'm done. Attitude determines an award. I like what the Brother and Mrs. Nash did about the host and the hostess. Awarding the teenager, the young man, and the young lady that had the friendliest attitude. Boy, you can't beat that. You know what that's doing? That's training character. That's training character. You reward character. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. So what do we have? We have somebody that says, I'm going to learn to be obedient. I'm going to learn to practice. I'm going to learn to push myself. I'm not going to quit. What is that? That is somebody that has the right attitude. I'm going to have a cheerful disposition, whether anybody else in the room has it or not. I'm going to be polite, whether anybody else knows how to do it or not. I'm going to be a gentleman, whether anybody else chooses to perform that way or not. I'm going to be a lady, and I'm going to be that way, and it doesn't matter what all the other ladies do, I'm going to do it. If you don't have a desire, you'll never perform it. If you don't have a desire, you don't get the right type of attitude, you'll never get rewarded. I'm saying, here's what you do. You teach somebody how to defend themselves, but if they don't have the attitude and the desire to do it, they won't. Hey, I can teach somebody to box. Be honest with you, I can show them the moves, but if they choose not to learn the moves, doesn't help. You got to have a desire. I can teach somebody a little bit about rebounding the basketball, but if they don't have a desire to do that, it's useless. I can teach somebody, are you listening to me, a little bit about running, a little bit about writing a book. I can teach somebody a little bit about preaching and delivery skills. I can teach somebody about soul winning, how to take, show somebody how to be saved, show them assurance of salvation. I show them how to get them down the aisle for baptism. I show them how to work with them and disciple them and grow them and groom them. I can teach it. But if a person doesn't have a desire to do it, it's no use. A person has to have the attitude, I want it, I want it. By the way, that's how you get the better score. I want it, I want it. That's how you do win a game. I want it, I want it. That's how you get the touchdown. That's how you get the basket. That's how you become a soul winner. That's how you become a dedicated Christian. It's got to come from within, not from without. People walk around all the time, I wish I was like so-and-so. Stop. Stop. You be the best that you can be. Doesn't matter what anybody else does. You be the best. Everybody can be faithful. Everybody. Everybody can read their Bible. Everybody can pass out a gospel tract. Hey, everybody can tithe and do right by God financially. Everybody. Everybody can live a separated life, separated from the world, unto God. You say, well, so-and-so, they're not living separated. Okay, then that's between them and God. Stay with me. You don't let people pull you down. You pull people up. You can't pull somebody up if you're not where you should be. But it's all about you and you doing your job. Boy, I tell you, I've had some times in my life I've gotten up and I have, now I thank God, God was good to me this morning. Sunday school, we're not going to talk about that one. But this morning in the message, lives were changed. I had the privilege to have several adults who walked the aisle, got baptized. had a good morning this morning, watched God work. People came up to me and said, wow, what a message. That one changed my life, preacher. Hey, that was good. God moved in, took control. He gets all the honor, all the glory. Hello. Now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. We understand this, that we've got to have the right attitude, because if you're not careful, when things go wrong, you quit. Well, I've tried to write this book. It's taken me 19 years. I'm on page one. Okay. Make it to page two this year. Well, preacher, I've tried to live for God and be faithful, and I always fail. Okay. You don't have to always do anything. You can succeed. Here's what it takes. One step at a time. That's all it takes. Here's what we do. We see a great Christian, and we say, I want to be just like that. And you're all the way over here. Stand up, Brother Nash. In order to become a great Christian, I can't broad jump that. If I broad jump that, I'm going to land on my bottom, and it's going to hurt. I'm going to look dumb. I can't even run and long jump that. There's no way. Yeah, I'll get up enough speed, I'll hurl through the air and land in Brother Palmore's lap. Can't do it. Here's what I can do, okay? I can get a little bit closer today. I can get a little bit closer tomorrow. I can get a little bit closer the next day. Can't touch it. Man, he's so far ahead of me living for God, I can't obtain it. But I'm closer. I'm closer. But he's still out of my reach. I can't do it. I just can't. But I'm a little bit closer. And now I can hear his voice. Over there I could only see his presence. Come on. But now I hear him coaching me a little bit. I hear him coaching me a little bit. Hey. And he pulls me in. Now, I'm telling you this. Here's what you have to decide that you're going to do. Okay, you're a new teenager in the youth department. You say, all these kids around here are weird. Man, they smile differently than I've ever seen anybody smile. Man, they're always dressing up for church. Never been to a church like this before. Give yourself time. Give yourself time. Don't reject it. Don't turn away from it. Set yourself a goal and aim for it. Well, man, I went out soul winning the other day. 92-year-old woman cursed me out. 82-year-old man chased me down the alley. Now, I'm just discouraged. What do I do? You come out soul winning again. That's what you do. Well, man, I got up as a young preacher and I preached on the bus and nobody heard me. I tried to get loud and nobody would listen. What do I do? You practice. You practice. Well, preacher, everybody around here, you know, they go to the altar. I've never been to the altar before. Man, if I go to the altar, what is people gonna think? Doesn't matter. Are you doing it for people? Are you doing it for God? Here's the fear. The fear is, I'm going to use you because you're all proper all the time. You stand back up. You stand over here. Get rid of your Bible. Get unproper. Unproper. Just take your tie down. Tie down. Unbutton it. Okay. There you go. There you go. Watch this. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Yeah, I'm over here, and let me see. Let me see who I can get. Let me see who I can get. Can I get somebody over here? JJ, come here. Come here. Take your jacket off. Take your tie off. Jacket off, tie off. Here we go. Watch this. New guy in church. I'm almost done. Closing illustration. Here we go. Come on, JJ. You're my helper. Come on. I like you. You do a good job. Thanks for pouring your life into people. You're doing a great job. Watch this. Here we go. So this guy comes to church and is like, man, I just don't know if I fit. And by the way, that's what people think in their minds. It is. It really is. They come walking in, and I just don't know if I fit. Okay? And he has this guy that comes up that is Mr. Cool Dude, or, you know, he's wide open. That's it. Okay? So go ahead. Go ahead. Wide open. No, get the hand going. Hand going. Wide open. Yeah. There we go. This guy right here, meek and quiet, reading his Bible. Reading his Bible. Preacher's preaching. He's shouting amen. Now, to me, that's way out of reach. I'm not even used to that. I'm quiet, sedate, kind of half asleep. When the preacher hits the pulpit, heart attack. Somebody shouts amen in the pew behind me. It's like, whoa, where am I at? Only heard that at ball games. You know? But I can't see how I can make it to him. But I see how I can at least make it to him. I mean, at least he's within my reach. Now I want to help you a little bit. So I go to him. That's what I do. Now, everything in his life is not right. It's just not there. He comes soul winning when he feels like it. When he doesn't feel like it, doesn't show up. Probably led maybe one person to Christ in his 30 years of being alive. Not excited about the things of God. Reads his Bible. Yes. Every Sunday reads his Bible. The pastor says, turn in your Bible to. That's when he reads his Bible. Come on. Never says amen. Too cool to go to the altar. Always checking out the girls. Man, always having his hair just so. Come on. Come on. Always taking his own picture and putting it on Instagram. Yeah. He's a boy, but he goes to the mall, tries on different hats. Yep, got the glasses going on. Okay, but wait a minute. At least he's kind. Yeah, he's reaching out. Now what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to help both of them go that direction. They're not going to go that direction if this guy doesn't come to them some. Hello? Now he doesn't have to lay down his Bible. He doesn't have to stop his amenin. He can still be decent. Concern. He can still do the things he's supposed to do, but he doesn't have to be stuck up and isolated about it. He can be friendly. He can come over and he can say, man, let me tell you what I got out of the Bible today. You know, takes him out, helps him, takes him soul winning, takes him soul winning. You don't have to go down to the rock and roll station in order to win him. You can take him soul winning with you. Hey, you can go out and make a visit or two together. Amen. You can pass out gospel tracts together. Hey, let's go see if we can do it. Amen. All right, now wait a minute. What happens then is he kind of pulls him along. He kind of follows him. Just follow him. Kind of pulls him along. And wait a minute. He turns around and says, hey, come on, man. It's not that bad. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. It's cool. Let's go. All right. And so what happens is they go. But here's what happens. Come back, cool guy. Come back. All right, yeah, worldly guy too. Or new guy, new guy, new guy, new guy. Okay, here we go. All right, what happens is this. Everybody likes to feel welcome. Come on, say amen. Yes. Everybody does. But these guys are so busy being spiritual that they've forgotten these guys. And these guys are so hung up on themselves that they've forgotten these guys. And before you know it, nobody's reaching anybody and pouring their life into them. So do we have to have? We have to have somebody reaching down and 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 pulling people closer to God. That's what we're supposed to do. Come on. When you take your wife out to a fancy restaurant, if that ever happens, you normally dress up for the occasion. You know, you take your wife on that hot date. Okay, it's marriage time. You ready? You ready? Marriage time. We normally dress up to get married, right? You know, now I've seen some that, you know, they dress down to get married. You know, let's go blue jean, man. And, you know, I've seen stuff like that. And I think that's kind of stupid, but I've seen stuff like that. Now wait a minute, watch this. But you normally dress up for an occasion, don't you? You normally dress to show how much you love the person that you're about to marry. Hey, honey, let me give you the ring that I got. I mean, I just got it, bottom of the Cracker Jacks. I love you. Will you marry me? Now, you normally save. You buy the nice one. You sacrifice. Isn't that right? Sure it is. Why can't we treat our Lord with the same type of integrity? Well, we can. That's why we fix up the church. Why? Lost people is going to come in. Yeah. That's why we use nice-looking gospel literature. Why? Somebody's going to get it, read it. That's why we have a first-class website. Why? People's going to go on it, seek out who we are. That's why it's good for people to comb their hair, brush their teeth, take a bath, shower, use soap, deodorant. Okay, thank you. Be seated. I'm saying this. I'm saying that we understand about this matter when it comes to racing. What is the racing all about? How do we finish it? How do we complete the race? Preparation changes the performance. When you prepare much, you can perform your act of serving Christ better. You put gas in the bus, it runs farther. You change the oil, you don't blow the motor. If you put nice tires on the bus, you're able to make it down the distance. Okay, so preparation changes the performance. Weights prevent the winning. Take off the weights. Well, preacher, I don't see that it's sinful, but is it a weight in your life that's holding you back or somebody else back? Endurance beats an explosion. Just keep enduring. Don't explode. Be patient. Take your time. Something doesn't go right, don't lose your cool. Attitude determines the award. Keep the right attitude. Keep it sweet. Keep it sweet. By the way, be sweet to your parents. Keep it sweet. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. How can I please you? What can I do for you? How can I serve you? How can I make your life not more miserable, but how can I make your life more pleasurable? I'm your son. I'm your daughter. God put me in this house for one reason. That's to serve you. That's why God put me in this house, to serve you. Long as I'm in this house, some girls should say, you'll never wash another dish. I was tired. I was coming home. The grass was kind of tall. I said, I think I'm going to mow it. Jared raised up and he said, Dad, as long as I'm home, you will never mow this lawn. I said, but son, you've been working two jobs. I know you're tired. He said, makes no difference. You're my dad. You're my dad. As long as I'm living in the house, you'll never touch a mower. I said, what'd you do? I sat down. I said, gas can is in the garage. What is that? That's loving. That's caring. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying we have to decide that we're going to finish the race that God has put before us. You decide you're going to be a blessing to someone. Oh, come on. Some of you kids are so selfish. It's all about you. Don't let it be about you. I want my way. I've got to have it. Look, forget you. Put your parents first. Put your parents first. Shame on you if mom or dad's got to clean your room. What they ought to do is open the window. I'm cleaning your room, son. I'll have it done in 3 minutes. You're downstairs watching your television thinking, how could they have it done in 3 minutes? I know what a mess it is. Almost got it done. You come walking upstairs. How'd you do that? Oh, it's outside. By the way, it's closer to the clothes hamper than it was before. If I were you, I'd go outside. I heard there's a mean dog in the neighborhood. Come on. Look, I think you need to give your parents a break. Son, you going to the youth activity? No, I don't want to. It's spiritual. They're not going to be having fun. It's just going to be preaching. Why would I want to go there? I might get right with God. No, come on. Why don't you decide to give your parents a break? Come on, go home, cook supper sometime. Brownies? Cookies? Okay, boil the water. Do something. Mow the lawn. Do the laundry. Shine your dad's shoes. Iron your own clothes. Put your own clothes away. Hey, what's that pile in the middle of the floor? It's been there 2 weeks. Your clothes. Waiting for you to put them away, Mom. That's your job. No. You lighten the load. By the way, you listen to me. Lighten the load of your Sunday school teacher. Run the race. Run the race. Well, I showed up and the coffee's not made. Show up early and make it. Run the race. Well, I can't believe it's not clean. I have a sorry Sunday school teacher, trash all over the floor. I hear the burden. Show up and clean it. Come on, Brother Stead, where you at? Brother Stead, come here. I'm done. Here it is, last illustration. Brother Rook's leaving on me. I got to close it. I'm just kidding. He's got to go to work. Watch this. Brother Stead, I love him. Okay, listen to me. A man, I'm not down on his age. I'm showing you something. A man his age should never have to pick up a broom on his bus. Never. Never one time. Shouldn't have to pick up trash. Ought to be some young people that say. And by the way, ought not always be maybe somebody, just one person, that has a servant's heart on the bus. Ought to be rotating. Everybody serving. Everybody serving. Okay? Wait a minute. That's the way it always ought to be. You realize older people in our church should never have to open a door for themselves? You say, you're chasing rabbit trails. I know, but I got the carrot. You know, the girls and the ladies in this church should never have to open a door for themselves? What about some young men? Come on, open the door for them. Wait till they get through. Then shut the door. But don't let guys like this outwork you. Hey, don't do that. You be kind. Oh, by the way, he'd give you the shirt. You know it. He'd give you the shirt off of his back. Don't let him do that. You walk beside him and say, hey, Brother Stead, how can I serve you? What can I do? Come on. Thank you. Brother Bulkley, we honored him the other night. Hey, great man. Great man of God. All right? As he's attending the church, when he's able to come and physically able to do it, what do? You make sure his needs are met. Right. Come on, I can go around to all of our senior citizens that's in this room. I can start naming them, starting here, 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 know you by name, here, and here. I'm just saying this, that older people, honor them. Honor them. You've got the energy. You've got the skill level. You've got a way to be able to do it. As a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so if you don't honor them now, somebody's not going to honor you later.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.